back, everybody, to another edition of the Green Room. We waited a long time for this, but March is in full swing. Probably the best month of the year, I think. Matthew, what's college basketball? So much going on. It's already been exciting from the mid-major level with Oakland, the win away from the tournament, but now the Big Ten tournament is getting underway. Tomorrow for the men, today for the women. This is Tuesday we're recording this, but the Big Ten tournament gets underway tomorrow for the men in Indianapolis. Michigan State will open on Thursday against Maryland, and Michigan will open on Friday against either Maryland or Michigan State, which would be fun to see yet another game between Michigan and Michigan State. But as we sit here, pretty remarkable considering where we were 16, 17, whatever days ago when you and I had wonderful former Spartan Matt Ishbia on to talk about things. And he guaranteed at that point that Michigan State would make the NCAA tournament. We laughed a lot. and yet, and he promised, we promised him and he promised us that if he was right, he would come back on and gloat. We would give him the time he wanted to gloat. And here we are 16, 17 days later, and Michigan State, barring upsets in every, barring 9-10 seeds winning every college basketball tournament, Michigan State is going to the NCAA tournament. Pretty remarkable.
Exactly how we saw it playing out. I was in full agreement with Matt. What are you talking about?
I don't recall that.
I believed him the whole time.
Mm-hmm. two wins over Indiana, but most importantly, wins over, I guess, number two, Michigan, number four, Illinois, or Ohio State, whichever one, four or five. So anyway, three wins over two top five teams coming down the stretch. Plus, again, two important wins that can't be overlooked either against Indiana, a team that was also on the bubble. And Michigan State probably knocked them squarely off of it and took their spot. They're in, right? I mean, there's nothing can happen anywhere across the country. I mean, other than, again, every, 11, 12 seed winning a college basketball tournament.
And we're kind of past most of that now. I mean, certainly by tonight, Tuesday, I think people, most of those mid-major conferences will be decided. But I think at this point now, there's not enough left. Certainly not for Michigan State at this point. Maybe some of those teams that you're seeing in the first four in some of these predictions are still sweating it out. But I can't. At Michigan State's at the point now where, depending on what they do this week, they could start playing themselves into like a 9-10 range. I mean, that's not bubble territory. So
where are they now? Yeah, you think? Where are they now? You think?
Probably an 11 right now. If they go one and done, probably 11. I think they're certainly out of the first four. Not that an 11, I mean, I think an 11 is one of those games. So I think that's a safe bet right now. If they win, if they beat Maryland, I think they're probably still on a, see, I say that. I mean, they could move to a 10. Obviously, you beat Michigan a second time. I think 10 would be the worst they'd be. But at some point, you don't want it. It's like, I don't think they want to be a 9. Just if you have any thoughts of really actually doing something in the NCAA tournament, you don't want to be an 8 or 9 because you're going to play a number one seed the second game. So, maybe all of that's wishful thinking at this point. Maybe Michigan State fans should be happy that this is, the way this season was going, I think most people are going to be happy knowing you're in. Maybe get a win. Don't go one and done. I mean, get a win and then play good in the second, but get knocked. I think most people would be happy with that. I'm sure there's some diehards that say, we want to, but I think realistically that would be a pretty good end of what was looking pretty miserable a few weeks ago. So, we'll see. We'll see what happens this week. This week is so silly though. It's fun to go. It's fun. It's a fun thing to cover in a normal year. We'll see what it's like this year. Mm-hmm. The conference tournaments, it can be cool and everyone's there and you're seeing a lot of good games, but the Big Ten one, especially being the last one to finish, and then the selection shows on, it's like immediately you don't care what happened.
I know.
Especially for some of these higher seeded teams, like a Michigan or an Iowa, both have guys, Eli Brooks for Michigan, Joe Wieskamp for Iowa, both guys got hurt on Sunday. Or was Iowa Saturday or Sunday? Anyway, those guys aren't going to, they're not going to play those guys this week, right? Because this doesn't matter. They need those guys for the following week. They need to take all 12, 13 days. So it's kind of an odd thing. Izzo's never loved it, but he's warmed up to it. It's because it's kind of fun, but it's so it's strange. What do we really
it's
get
fun
out of
if,
this week?
It'd be more, it's fun. It'd be more fun if they finish it on Saturday. You know, it just,
I know,
you know, they bump it up again. I mean, literally the game ends and the selection show's on. And so, yeah, like you said, I mean, a Michigan or a Michigan State, you know, they've won a lot of Big Ten tournament championships over the years. And it's like instantly no one cares, you know, at all. I mean, it's all about the next thing. It's, you know, so it'd be the Big Ten, I think, would get more bang for their buck, you know, with the, you know, moving it to Saturday for the final. But then again, they also get the eyeballs for that final game because everyone's tuned in to watch the selection show. So,
well,
you know, it's all about money. And I'm sure that's why, you know, I'm sure that's
definitely because it's CBS and that, you know, they're the network carrying it. So they go right into it. So everybody watches that game. Yeah, so I get
media,
it.
It's but just, for the media, it's annoying. And we all know.
Oh, it's not annoying. It's miserable.
We all know that, you know, it's all about making our lives easier. I mean, fans love to hear how bad we have it. Hobnobbing across the country covering sports. It's a tough life.
Let me just tell you, hold on. That there's nothing worse than your team being in the Big Ten championship.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
There's nothing worse.
Yeah. One season.
Because you got all this hype up to it and they immediately don't care.
Yeah.
But the logistics of it are a nightmare too afterward. Everyone's, especially if your team you're covering wins.
Yeah.
You know, they do the whole thing on the court and the got to cut the nets down and they literally go right from that into a room to watch the selection. And the whole time you're up against deadline, you got to write this stuff and you don't get them till after the announcement. So if your team's in your covering, you want them to lose because you'll get them in that little that in between before they go to the announcement. But it, yeah, people don't care about that.
No, but, people, you know, the 1 year
tough life for us, I guess.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, we have it so rough, you know, it's tough.
Well, some people, just so you know, like some people, hold on. Some people like Tony Paul forget to book rooms in Indianapolis and, you know,
yeah,
they gotta sleep on my floor, but well, you know,
I didn't sleep on your floor. We had two beds, and I filled the cooler with beer, which we, neither one of us drank any of it. You know, maybe you did after I left, but I at least filled the fridge with beer. So I pulled my weight.
Yeah, there's no shortage of places in Indianapolis to hang out. So this year might be different. We'll see.
Right. Well, crazy thing is, I might be going back to Indy. Who knows?
We'll hey, OU tonight.
Yeah,
go Grizzlies.
They're a great game last night. The Horizon tournament's been a lot of fun. And Oakland's looking for their first NCAA tournament bid since 2011. But Michigan State is looking for their first NCAA tournament bid since their last one, 23 in a row, which, again, we discussed this a little over 2 weeks ago. I mean, nobody with a sense of reality could have seen this coming. You can expect, you know, an Izzo team to do something that surprises you, but not win all these games that they basically had to win all of them to get to this point. And but there was one guy who told us otherwise. I still don't believe he would have bet his billion-dollar fortune on it. However, Matt Ishbia, former Michigan State basketball player, told us that Michigan State would win enough games to get into the NCAA tournament, and he promised that if they did, he would come back and we would give him all the time in the world that he wanted to gloat. And amazingly, here we are, letting him gloat. We caught up with Matt yesterday, and here's our conversation with him.
Well, and of course, if anyone has listened to the podcast recently, they would have known, 3-4 weeks ago, there was at least one person who had never lost faith in Michigan State, even though the cynics here on this pod did. Of course, Matt Ishbia, 2000 national champion, told us Michigan State will make the NCAA tournament. We scoffed at him. We openly criticized him. And he was right, and he's here now to gloat. Matt, what do you have to say now that we look stupid? And you're, of course, you knew what you were talking about all along.
No, I don't know about that, but I think the Spartans, as we saw, Coach Izzo gets his team rolling, and we, you know, they had a tough 15-16-day stretch, and Coach gets them ready. They get better every year, and I'm proud to see it. And I mean, I don't know how many teams ever won three top five games in a 2-week period, but Coach Izzo did it. I always believe in him, and that usually works out for me.
Look, I understand now, obviously you're going to, the position you're in, you're going to believe in Tom Izzo every day, 100% of the time. People that played there get it. You know, people around the program understand it. But was there any part of you, a small part of you, that thought, man, this schedule is tough down the stretch. It's going to be hard. I don't know if they can do it, even though you're going to believe he can. Was there any part of you that doubted it?
Not any part of me at all. Like I said, unequivocally, I told you on the call, 3 weeks ago, 100% they're making the tournament. It didn't even cross my mind. I don't care who they're playing. Like I said, how do you know the future? What's going to happen in the future? You see what happens in the past. 25 years, we know who Tom Izzo is. We know what Michigan State basketball is. It wasn't going to happen. I believe him. And I believed in the team, and they came through.
And we talked about this a little bit before, but everything seemed just a little bit behind. They had the 3 week, shutdown because of COVID. So this kind of felt like in a normal season, you would have seen this progress maybe a few weeks ago. Is it hard to understate what it's like to not play for that amount of time, especially when you got guys still kind of figuring out a little bit?
Absolutely. I think that's a great way of thinking of it. You know, they're usually doing this more in the beginning of February, making the run. Now it's the end of February, beginning of March, they're making their push. And that's just how Tom Izzo teams. They take a while to gel. You lost 20 days of practice. You're missing out on opportunities, two-a-days, and COVID really hit. And teams that get better through the year, like Tom Izzo's teams, they're the ones that got hurt most by COVID. Teams that are just kind of already existing, like he has a lot of players gelling, lost his two top players last year. It takes time to get them together, and now he's doing it, and hopefully they got a little bit of a run left in them.
And obviously, you know Tom as well as anybody. When people see the emotion from him, you can understand the emotion, like when you win a championship. I think of a couple of years ago when they beat Michigan in the Big Ten tournament final after Kyle Arns got hurt, and you see the emotion from him. But we saw it again Sunday for a team that's 15-11. But just the emotion that guy has, what does that mean to players that they know he's that invested in them and everything they're doing? How can you put that into words, I guess, for guys in the program?
Yeah, so it's a different level. You realize that this guy loves you. He cares. It's not fake. He's not fake crying. He's like, he's all in. He puts his heart on his sleeve, and he's all in for you. And he'll run through a wall for you, and he'll ask you to run through a wall too, as we all know, right? And he'll get after you, but that's why none of his players ever get upset. Like, oh, he's yelling at me. He's yelling because he loves me, not because he's yelling at me. He wants us to win. He cares about me. And so it's a different type of thing, and Izzo's really got that, and it's fun to see him get emotional because that's who he is. It's not a fake. There's nothing fake about him. He's all in. He's a genuine guy. He actually cares.
And now Tony, I think, so are you with us, Tony? Are you there, pal?
I am. I'm ready to run through a wall for Matt. He is right now.
So yeah, Matt was already able to gloat in the first few minutes here, proving us wrong. But that's no surprise.
That's impressive stuff. That was, I didn't see this coming, and I still maintain that, you said what you said because, you obviously are tied to the program and invest in the program. I don't think you would have gambled your whole company on that outcome, but congratulations nonetheless. Any similar feeling going into the tournament?
Yeah, well, the NCAA tournament I feel strong about. I feel like the Big Ten tournament, we'll see how that goes, but the NCAA tournament, I'm not betting against Coach Izzo, and it's not just because I played for him. It's because I know what he's done before. I know how he gets a team ready. Would I be surprised? I think I said it on the first podcast that I would see them make a run through the first weekend of the tournament too. And would I be surprised if they win two games in the NCAA tournament? Absolutely not. Do I think they're winning a national championship? I'm not ready to say that. I don't believe that's the case, but I don't think there's a team that doesn't want to play him based on that we just beat three top five teams in the last 2 weeks. Who wants to play Michigan State?
True. Yeah, I can't imagine being like you're a 6 seed and they're an 11 and you look and see Michigan State, gee, thanks a lot. Thanks for that pairing or that draw. But it is kind of remarkable to consider that we're at the point we're at right now. And you're right. I mean, it's hard to count them out, but I want to ask you as a player, 7 games in 16 days. Can you try and describe to us what that was like for these guys? I know we saw them kind of run out of gas a little bit there in Maryland, a little early against Indiana, but they seemed fine Sunday. What is it like to go through that sort of stretch as a player especially with that amount of pressure on you too?
Yeah. Well, as a player that sat on the bench, it was actually easy to just watch the games. I didn't actually have to play. No, I'm just teasing. But so for me, it wasn't, but the reality is the grueling practice, the quick 1 day turnarounds on film, the free throws in the morning, they're studying at night. Like, there's a lot of stuff going. They're also in school too. They're not full-time jobs. They're actually working in school and trying to do things. Like, it's a lot of pressure. And then to have everybody in the media and the Twitter world and everything kind of on them as well, you know, it's a lot of pressure. And these guys, these kids stepped up, they kind of banded together. Sometimes that brings people closer together to kind of go through something that's like unthinkable, to play 16 in 16 days, play seven teams and we have to win five of them against five, you know, top. I mean, they had a lot going on. So I think the way as a player, you have to kind of think is like, you have to take one game at a time, one day at a time, and not look at the whole thing. You just kind of knock it out every single day.
So are you, so you're not predicting a national title, obviously, but I'm assuming you will be watching every minute over the next few weeks.
Yes, absolutely. I try to watch every time I can. You know, I believe in them. I love the team. I love Coach Izzo. I know he's got everything going as best we can, and I'm believing in them. I think they're going to make a little bit of a run. I think they got some more wins left in them.
Do you guys from, you know, that you played with, do you guys still talk all the time? Do you guys talk about the games, or is there a back and forth about what you think should happen or what's happening when all this is going on?
We're all the time. I actually had dinner with Mateen and Charlie on Saturday night before the Michigan State game. And we all had dinner together, talked about what we thought was going to happen the next day. And all three of us were right. but I'm just teasing, but we're all in, you know, we all know what coach is going through, what the players are going through. And it's just fun to stay connected and all spend time together and talk about the Spartans.
Probably doesn't hurt throwing in a little win there against Michigan to close it out, I can imagine.
Yeah, we enjoy that. We enjoy that thoroughly.
All right, Matt. Well, I appreciate it. I know your time's short, but I'm glad you could come on and remind us that we're wrong as usual.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so very much for doing that. Thank you.
Every once in a while, I get some things right, but I'm glad that I think we're all on the same page. We're happy for this. We want the Spartans to do well, and we're all Izzo fans, and so I'm excited to see them do good things. But thanks for having me. I appreciate you guys and all that you do.
You got it, Matt. Thanks a lot, man.
See you guys later.
Yeah, great. Good for you.
There you have it. Now, everyone ignore the fact that Tony was late.
By the way, both times Matt Ishbia's been on, I've been late. The first one was an early recording, and I don't like to wake up very early, and that one was rough. No excuse yesterday other than, I was just late.
I did like, though, too, when you said, hey, would you have bet the company's fortune? He did laugh.
He did laugh, so, you know, there's no way. There's no way.
We're doing this on Zoom so we can see him, and he's laughing, kind of shaking his head. He's... You might not want to admit it, but yeah, that wasn't, we were putting that sort of wager on it.
The reality is, and I said this when we were talking, is that he said what he said because he's a diehard, he's part of the family. He maybe deep down had a little bit of belief in them, but there's no way he was certain that this was going to happen. Nobody.
He said he was. What are you talking about?
I don't believe it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Nobody could have seen this guy. Imagine if you picked the money line for Michigan State to win all five of those games. If you could do a parlay.
I thought you did, didn't you?
No, I picked them on two of them. but I chickened out in the end. The first one I did was the Indiana game, the game that got it kind of rolling. I picked them on the money line, and then they got up by four in the second half, and I chickened out and cashed out for like a measly $20 profit. If I would have stuck with them, I would have won a little bit more, but a lot more, actually. But if you could have done a parlay to pick Michigan State to win against Indiana twice and Michigan, Illinois, and Ohio State, taking the money line, I mean, you could have put $5 down and you might have won $30,000. I mean, it's just how incredible this was. And kudos to him. And kudos to him for coming back on to gloat and rub it in our face.
It would have been tougher for him coming on if he was totally wrong. And
yeah, I don't think we would have heard from him for a while if he would have been wrong. But now, you know, so now they're in, and that's a great story, and it's great for Izzo and the program to extend it to 23. But now they got, you know, they got tough work ahead. They got a tough game in the Big Ten tournament, Maryland at 11:30 a.m. on Thursday. They lost to Maryland, obviously played very poorly in that game just a week ago or whatnot. And so they got a tough game there. Possibly if they win that one, they got Michigan again. So they got a tough road. You know, they're in, so that's a good thing for them. But they do, I think, still want to get that seeding up as much as they can. So this matters a little bit more to Michigan State than maybe it does in a typical year.
Yeah, but you're right. But you're always weighing that, especially right now, with the fact that they just went through seven games in 16 days. And their key guys, I mean, I know they play a lot of guys, but their key guys are playing heavy minutes right now. How much do you want to push him at this point when it might gain you one line, you know, in a seed? You know, it's a tough balance. I can, you know, I remember 2 years ago, you know, Michigan State had won the Big Ten. They go into the conference tournament and Cassius was playing, you know, 38, 39 minutes a game. And the thought was, you know, go through the motions against Ohio State and check out and get ready for the NCAA tournament. Well, Cassius looked like he was following that plan. And until Foster Lawyer came in and decided to make a bunch of shots and they beat Ohio State. Well, now you're there. You know, I forget who they, I think they beat Wisconsin in the semifinal. Now you're playing Michigan again. So you're locked in for a full run. And of course they still made the Final Four. So maybe the, you know, your tired, worn out thing is a little bit of an excuse and isn't as much.
Maybe in past years, but this year it's a real concern.
I think it's real this year. I think it's been obvious in certain games, especially that Maryland game the first time. And then even a couple nights later against Indiana, even though they won, I think both those games, they were fried a little bit in Ann Arbor against Michigan, but that was, I don't think that was the sole thing. But then, you know, Sunday against Michigan, they looked fine. So who knows? I'm sure the extra days here help. So yeah, the other thing too is you get those guys out on the floor and, you know, something practical goes right out the window when you're in a game. I mean, they don't go out there to go through the motions.
No.
You know, and then they lost to Maryland a week ago. So
no, you're out there. You're competitors. Your athletes are competitors. They want to win no matter what. And, I mean, I don't see Michigan State making a, you know, what is it, a 1-2-4 game run into this thing anyway, you know, but, you know, they're going to want to win that game against Maryland. I mean, they're going to want some revenge. And anything you can do for the seeding, like you said, though, you know, getting into the 8-9 is almost more dangerous than staying at 10 or an 11 for Michigan State's purposes, because, you know, the one that they would be matched up with would not be Michigan. They'd have a tall task on their hands trying to pull off.
One bracket. I think it was Jerry Palm at CBS yesterday had them moved up to a 9 already. And it was opposite Illinois, which, under the old bracketing principles, you couldn't do, but I think a lot of them are getting thrown out, especially this year.
Yeah, there's no, I don't think that, you know, because in the old ones, you know, there's travel and there's sites and all, you know, and of course you don't want to play a team twice, but, you know, this year everything is out the window. The brackets, I think, are going to be very fascinating to see what it looks like. I think it will look different. I think you will possibly have rematch matchups early on. You know, this is an interesting time. And I think that, it's exciting. You know, as someone who's jaded like me, I mean, I love the NCAA tournament and, to see Michigan State getting a crack at this thing. But I think why Jerry Palm probably has him as a 9 is you're starting to see the love that people have for the Big Ten. And it's a very good conference, obviously. But I was looking at one of the lines the other day, DraftKings, I think it was. They're doing a seeding thing where you can bet over unders on seeding. Like if you don't have enough to bet on. Yeah, right. I know. Seriously. It's like, okay. So that's for people that bet the coin toss in the Super Bowl, which was, by the way, my only win on a bet in the Super Bowl. But anyway,
so apparently for guys like you,
For guys like me. So anyway, so they had the over under on the seeding, and one that jumped out at me was Wisconsin. They had the over under as 5.5. And I'm like, holy crap. Like, here's a Wisconsin team that's free-falling. They're in, but they're free-falling.
That's true.
Michigan State's resume is better. I mean, as far as top quad one wins and stuff and beating, you know, the good teams. And Michigan State's, you know, and so I think that's a lot of that's because of the love that the Big Ten's getting. They're getting a lot of respect right now with the selection committee, mulling this over ahead of Sunday. And so I think that's probably why Michigan State might already be a 9, because again, it's the Big Ten, it's the best team in the best conference in the country, and Michigan State beat the top 3 teams. It's going to be interesting to see. But you're right, that's a dangerous line, because again, you know, going up against number 1 in the second round, you're not going to get Michigan, and so it's going to be one of the other 3, and that's probably the end of the road.
Well, think back a couple of when like Miles and Cassius and those guys were all freshmen. They were a 9, 8 or 9. I forget which. 8 or 9, they played Miami in the first round. And you know, and ended up having a great second half and blowing Miami out. But the next game was against Kansas, you know, and that was, it was a game for a half, but they really weren't going to win that game, you know, whereas if you're, you know, if you're a 10 and you're playing a three, that's a whole different ball game. I mean, you still got to pull off an upset, but when you look at the likely one seeds this year,
it's a clear fall off.
A clear jump from Gonzaga, Baylor, Michigan, even Illinois to an extent, but certainly Gonzaga, Baylor, Michigan. Then there's to me, it's a noticeable gap when you get down to two, especially threes.
Three for sure. The twos are pretty good.
Yeah, if you want a legit shot of getting out of that first weekend, making a Sweet 16, try and stay off the 8-9 line. Because it's just harder to do.
So maybe a loss against Maryland might end up being the best thing for him. Who knows?
Might not be the worst.
Might be able to kind of refresh a little bit, you know.
Because the
gauntlet they have gone through has been crazy.
And Maryland proved they're a tough matchup just because of the way they defend. Mm-hmm. You know, Michigan State doesn't have a post threat really to dump it into, which is something you kind of need against Maryland, and they got to be able to shoot the ball well, and they certainly didn't last week when they played them.
Right.
Ball didn't move, but you know, a lot of the same issues with Michigan State. But it's amazing, as Izzo has said many times, the ball going in the basket really solves a lot of ills. And that was, I mean, if you just look at the two Michigan games, I mean, you could sit there and dissect it and go over little parts of it and all that, but really the big difference was Michigan State made more shots on Sunday. It's not like they got a lot of different shots or easier shots. I mean, I think Rocket Watch
they got slightly easier shots.
They did, but still, Rocket Watch was still making jumpers. Now, look, he looked more comfortable, more at ease, was getting in the lane more like they've wanted. But ultimately, it came down to putting the ball in the basket, which
Langford hits the big three. And, you know, I mean, those are things we just haven't seen much of Michigan State. I mean, when they've needed big shots this year, especially before this run, they just didn't have it. I mean, they didn't make them. I mean, it was just none. Like, I mean, when they needed the big shot, when they needed the big shot, they couldn't find it. And now they're starting to find it. So it'll be interesting to see how they do moving forward. Again, you know, wouldn't surprise me if it's one and done, and it would be a pretty impressive season. Even if it was one and done, just getting to where they got to when nobody outside of Matt Ishbia thought that he could get to this point. So.
Well, the interesting thing too is right now where it's like, what do we talk about this week? Because I think with the Big Ten tournament, people are like, whatever. If you win some, great. If not, whatever. It's next week, and when we'll probably jump on here early next week when we know exactly where they're seated, who they're playing, and get a better idea of, do we think they got a chance to win a couple games or what? And then you kind of go from there. But that's been the thing with Michigan State all year. You'll see moments where they play really well, and you're like, if they do that, certainly like they played Sunday, the way guys like Marcus Bingham is playing, Joey Hauser's been making some big shots lately, although he still struggles with the turnovers. You're seeing something from a lot of different guys that you didn't see earlier in the year. So if you continue to do that and take care of the ball, look at the turnovers, everybody, and look at wins and losses. They've won a couple of games in there with a lot of turnovers, but they only had 8 against Michigan on Sunday. I want to say it was the Illinois game. They only had 7 or 8. It matters, especially with this team, because as they've said themselves, the margin for error is slim.
Yeah.
You know, you can't play poorly and win. This team has to play well. And we've seen it in stretches. We just haven't seen it consistently. Can they do that, you know, for 6 games over the course of a couple of weeks? We'll see. Yeah. But Rocket Watts playing that way certainly gives you hope that they can. Rocket Watts playing the way he did Thursday when he sat the last 17 minutes. Doesn't give you as much hope. So, it's both. They're both examples are out there. Which one do they find? I guess we'll see.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is, and again, Maryland and Michigan State, 11:30 a.m. Thursday in Indianapolis, their Big Ten opener. The interesting thing about this game for Michigan State is it's the first game in how long that they've played where they can breathe.
That's true.
You know, I mean, this is, I mean, when was the last time they played a game where they went into it feeling relaxed and they could breathe? I mean, they've played all these games where they felt they had to win every single one of them and damn near did. Now they're going into it. So I'll be interested to see how they come out, because I'm sure Izzo's saying, look, don't, you know, don't leave anything to chance. We got to keep winning and building and whatever. But the reality is they're in, and I think everyone knows it, and I think they know it. So I'll be interested to see how they come out for the first time in a while, having having some oxygen, you know, to rely on.
I'd be willing to say this is the first time they'll play without any pressure since the Big Ten season started. Because if you remember that, they started with three straight losses.
Yes, 0-3, yeah.
I mean, right out of the gate, you're like, all right, what the hell's going on? I mean, the first loss was at Northwestern.
Yeah.
Now, I know Northwestern went on to beat a couple of teams, but they still lost 13 in a row. The point is, you started the season out 0-3, and you're immediately in a hole. I think they've kind of had this, maybe not obviously the pressure of the last couple of weeks.
Right.
But I think all year it's been, because, you know, the play hasn't been very good. And so there's just been this constant search of, we got to find something. And you might win a couple and then you lose two. And then you have the COVID thing and you lose three in a row out of that. It's just, I feel like that has kind of been hanging over their shoulder all year. So, this might be the first time they truly since, what was the last non-conference game they played? It wasn't Detroit, but it was like Western or Oakland or something, where they went out and were like just loose. So who knows? Maybe Thursday we will see a kind of a different game. Maybe the shots aren't as short. Maybe they're not as tight taking some of these shots. So
I'll be interested to see because it's just the first time that they get to go out and play and not really have a care in the world. Or, you know, I mean, they obviously want to win, you know, but we all know that they've done enough to get there. So 11:30 a.m. on Thursday for that game. The winner goes on to play Michigan 11:30 a.m. on Friday. That's what we need. Just a third Michigan State game in the span of four.
As long as they're at 11:30, pal, I'm all.
Yeah, in. I know. You like it. Deadlines. It's all about the reporters. We want to make life easy on you. It's a tough world.
Hey, I've said this before. Like the first 3-4 years on the beat, Michigan State was the 3 seed or the 6. Like that's always the late game, like at 9:30 or whenever the hell it starts. I was when I first started on the beat. I'm like, the Big Ten tournament's the worst thing in the world.
I know. I misplaced my violin, but I appreciate you sharing your worries. But anyway, so those two games coming up, it's going to be fun. Big Ten men starting tomorrow, actually Wednesday. Big Ten women start today. Michigan State are in there as well. Programming note, you mentioned we're going to hop on to talk about the bracket. We might be doing that as early as Sunday night or Monday morning to discuss the bracket, break it down. We'll have Matt on, we'll have James Hawkins, our U of M beat writer. We might even get Wojo if he's up that early or up that late or whatever. If he hasn't devoured too many gin and tonics, we might be able to get him on as well to break down the NCAA tournament bracket, which will include Michigan and Michigan State and possibly the Oakland Golden Grizzlies. We'll find that out tonight, Tuesday night. So that's it. Check out DetroitNews.com for all our coverage. We're going to blow you away with too much coverage. So you know, you'll have no shortage of options of stories to read and previews and analysis and all sorts of good stuff, especially Sunday when the bracket comes out. So feel free to subscribe. We have great deals going on at DetroitNews.com. It's important to support local journalism because especially the sports writers, because as Matt pointed out, they have it so bad. Follow Matt on Twitter at Matt Charbonneau. You can follow me on Twitter at TonyPlum1984. That's it for now. Once one more time, congratulations to Matt Ishbia. He's the smartest man in the world. good for him. And we'll be back next week to talk March Madness.
See ya.